I wanted to mainly touch on Joseph this morning as the type of the single seed. And we'll be looking at that. We're going to be looking at the whole eternal plan of God with this, because I've been going over and touching on bits and pieces and working up to it up to this point. And one of the things that I just really, let me look at this real quick. Yeah, several notes everywhere. Just with Joseph, he is a perfect type of Christ. He's a perfect type of Jesus of Nazareth. You can study it out in the Old Testament. He is a perfect testimony of Christ. And I say that because a lot of times in the Old Covenant, or actually not in the Old Covenant, I'll say it this way, in the Old Testament, the testament's there to testify of Christ. Jesus said in John 5:39 to the religious leaders, he said, I know you search the Scriptures, because in the Scriptures you find the term eternal life. And then he says, and these same Scriptures that you search, the testimony, testify of me. And then he goes on to say, and you will not come to me that you may have that eternal life of which the Scriptures testify. And that will be important here in a little bit, because we're going to possibly talk a little bit about the rich young ruler. But see, all the Scripture testify of Christ. They are a testimony of him. But what when, I'll use like an example. What when you have a situation of like King Saul, who is definitely not a beautiful testimony of Christ? Well, then you have a testimony of not Christ. Or, I guess I could put it this way, Antichrist. The Scriptures are to testify of Christ, and they testify of Christ. But with a situation of, like with King Saul, he left his purpose. He left being a testimony of Christ. Okay? With Joseph, he's a perfect testimony of Christ, because you watch his, you know, life throughout, on the whole, he does not break, how shall I say it? He does not break communion. He does not break union with the Lord, in testimony, the union, the communion that he testified of which he was a testimony. And I'm just going to go ahead and put a couple things on the board here. See if I can draw it. It's the diagram that I always use, that I always draw. Well, I can't say always use, always draw. That I use most of the time. For the most part. And I'll just stop right there. I'm going to start reading some verses concerning Joseph. Okay. In the previous classes that I've been doing in the School of Christ, I've been just showing how the obedience of the heart is so necessary to everything. And when I say obedience, I don't speak of Old Covenant obedience. Please understand. I speak of a new covenant obedience. In the new covenant, everything is on the inside, not on the outside. Old covenant is outside from afar. Man is one place, God is another place. That's old covenant. The new covenant, God is on the inside, even nigh, even in you. Okay? So when I speak of the obedience of the heart, all I simply mean is this. The heart turning unto the Lord, being obedient unto the voice, the heavenly voice, and being obedient unto the heavenly vision. Okay? In the book of Revelation, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, John on the Isle of Patmos heard the voice. the heavenly voice, and it says he turned, he was obedient. He turned to see the heavenly voice, and he saw. Okay? And then later on, or actually, I'm not sure if it's later on or before. I think it might have been before. You have Saul, who's persecuting the church in the book of Acts. Then his heart finally turns to the Lord. Christ appears. Okay, and then in his confession to King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And the one thing that Jesus said, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this. Thy seeing me hereafter. And Paul's confession, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. My heart continued to turn to see. Okay, so that's what I mean by the obedience of the heart. And how so important it is, because what we see when our heart turns, we see the glorified Christ. We see Christ in his glory. We see, as the song we sung a while ago with Isaiah, we see the Lord seated upon his throne, high and lifted up. And he fills the temple with his train. And the heavenly declaration is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's the heavenly declaration. Okay? I'll just go ahead. Well, since I did mention that, let me just go ahead and touch on these. There's three passages that I like to look at when it's talking about the earth being filled. We're going to look at the first passage. And when the scriptures are declaring the earth, the land promised, it is the soul of humanity, it is the soul of mankind. Let's look at Numbers 14, and I did cover this in my last class, so... And in previous classes. All right. Numbers 14. Here the situation with Israel. They did not want to go in. They did not want to continue. First and foremost, they did not want to continue obedient unto the Lord. Okay? They did not want to continue obedient in their hearts unto the Lord. And I'm just going to go ahead and bring us up to this situation here. Because it's very important. See, we think that we look in the scriptures and we see different ones doing things, and we see, well, oh, they just did this and they didn't want to go into the land. So God had to change things up and this and that, this and that. Well, there was a reason why they didn't and why they could not go in and possess the land. All right. If we look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. All right, this is all Israel after coming out of Egypt, right, with the death of the Lamb, through the Red Sea, the barrel, and in type, yes, in type, they are in resurrection. In type, they are in resurrection. The Lord said, how I brought you on eagle's wings unto myself. The Lord is above. They are in resurrection. They are ignorant. All right, they are in type in resurrection, but they are ignorant of that. But that doesn't matter. In God's mind, this is the situation, okay? Exodus 20, 18 through 21. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, okay? The Lord brought them unto Mount Zion, Mount Zion with an S, Mount Zion, okay? This is where Moses would go up and speak with the Lord before the face of the Lord. And the Lord spake face to face with Moses. This is that whole situation. He brought all Israel unto that. Okay? And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw... I just want to go ahead... That verse that I quoted earlier, I want to go ahead and just read that, because this is so important. Where the people in testimony failed the testimony, here's one who is true not only to the testimony, but to the substance himself. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10. This is John. Well, I'll start with verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Or for the word of God, even the testimony of Jesus Christ. You can read that either way. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Okay, all this is going to be really clear in a second. Verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw. And it's a beautiful description of Christ. And the description, for the most part, is light. Light. You can read it, but it's a description of light. Okay? And skipping down to verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I am he that liveth. I am the living one. Okay? John was obedient. He was obedient in his heart. Okay, why do I say he was obedient in his heart? None of these were outward actions, because he is in the new covenant. New covenant. Everything was happening in the heart. Everything. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He's obedient in his heart, okay? Just for an example, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus wanting eternal life. He's not obedient to come unto him in his heart, but he comes with an outward obedience. Well, first of all, if we're not inwardly obedient, if our heart isn't obedient, then it doesn't matter what we do outwardly. It is how the Lord told Samuel to tell King Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than anything you can do outwardly, the obedience of the heart. And before that, we find out how the Lord told Samuel, Saul hath left from following me. Saul's heart, King Saul, his heart had left from turning unto the Lord. Okay? So then King Saul does all these other things, and to the Lord it's disobedience, because his heart hadn't turned. Okay? The situation here. John is obedient. He is obedient unto the heavenly voice. His heart is obedient. Turns, sees the voice that speaks with him. Being turned, he sees immediately who lives. In seeing who lives, he sees who lives not. There's one life, that's Christ. All right. Back with Exodus, chapter 20, verse 18 through 21. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet. Book of Revelation. And the mountain smoking. And when the people saw, listen to the contrast of what the people as a whole did versus what John did and versus what Moses did and versus what Joshua did as well. They removed and stood afar off. Their hearts removed and stood afar off. Verse 19, and they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Lest we, what we conceive, what we conceive to be our life, come to an end. Okay? And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces. His fear, not your fear of the loss of what you consider to be your life. No, let his fear be before your faces. The fear of the Lord, I think it's in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, something like that. Okay, verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your eyes, that ye sin not. Oh, and here we go with our concepts of sin. This term, sin, is Strong's number 2398. It means basically this: to miss, to sin, miss the goal or path of right and duty. To miss. To sin. To miss. It's to miss the mark. The mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, of which Paul spoke of in the book of Philippians. I think it's chapter 3. Okay, that's what sinning is. Sinning is not setting your affection on that which is above. Sinning is missing the mark, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's when the heart turns to something else, anything other than Christ, right? Verse 21, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. So the whole of Israel, in type and resurrection, they stood afar off, but Moses drew near. Moses' heart turned. In another place, it's in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 11, verse, I'm pretty close to there, let me see if I can find it. In Hebrews chapter 11, speaking of Moses, I know I looked at it sometime. Well, I'm not going to find it. One thing that Moses continued to do, forgive me, I'm not going to be able to find it, was this. It's probably, let me see if I can find it. I know it's in chapter 11. Yes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. I'll go ahead and read it. See, in the context right here of Exodus 20, 18 through 21, the people stood afar off. The people did not draw nigh. The people said, our hearts, we don't want to hear the voice. We don't want to see the image. That's ultimately what happened. It happened in their hearts. We do not want to continue to see the voice. We don't want to continue to hear the voice, nor see the voice, nor see the image, lest we, what we consider to be our life, come to an end. So they stood afar off. Their hearts turned from the Lord. Okay? And then it says, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was, unto that which man cannot see with a natural eye. The thick darkness, which man's natural eye cannot see beyond. Moses drew near unto God. Okay? This is Hebrews 11, verse 27. See, this is one thing that Moses continued to do in his heart. That's why Moses continued. All right. Verse 27. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Okay. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. This is how Moses endured. This is how Moses endured forsaking Egypt, fleeing Egypt. This is how Moses endured the whole situation with Israel here. This is how Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. And you're saying, well, how can he see him who is invisible? With the eye of the heart. His heart was turned to the Lord. Therefore, outwardly, everything that he did was in, how should I say it, perfect harmony, perfect union with the Lord. Everything he did outwardly. Okay? Yes, and I know with the situation of the woman that he took as a wife, I know that as a whole, Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. He continued with his heart turned to the Lord. And that's one thing. His heart continued to turn to the Lord. Something happened. Moses falls on his face. His heart's turned to the Lord. Okay, a situation within the camp. Moses falls on his face. His heart is turned to the Lord. Moses goes unto the temple, the tabernacle at the time. Moses given instructions to build the tabernacle. Moses goes and continues before the face of God. All right. The children of Israel did not want to continue. Okay? They stood afar off. All right. Here's the whole picture with the land, Numbers 14:39 through 45. Yep. This in Exodus 20, all Israel is brought to Mount Sinai. The people refuse. Moses continues in reality. Joshua continues in reality. The people, listen, continue in ignorance. The people continue in ignorance. And I know we don't like the term ignorance. We don't want to think that we're ignorant. We don't want people to call us ignorant. We don't want to be called ignorant. Okay? Ignorant isn't a bad word. Ignorant, to be ignorant is not a sin. But to stay ignorant is not good. Okay? God saw the light that it was good. Okay? And it's not that we for the most part are ignorant. No, we have, I was talking to a friend at work the other day, we have a plethora amount of knowledge of the tree of good and evil. We're overflowing with the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. We are just ignorant of the tree of life, whom Christ is. And that's the thing. We're ignorant of the Lord because we, so many times, like the children of Israel, we don't want to draw an eye. We don't want to turn our hearts unto the Lord. Right? Okay. Numbers 14:39 through 45. This is verse 39. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel. He's recounting the whole situation when they're at number in because of the land. What happened in Numbers right before? They tried to go up, take possession of the land, and they sent the spies. And the first thing they come back, they dishearten the people, and they say, "Okay, we're not going. We're not going. We're not going." And then the Lord gives the decree, okay, then this whole generation is going to pass away and there'll be another generation that will continue in the testimony. That was their purpose, to be a testimony of Christ, of what Christ does. They were disobedient because they were disobedient in their heart to continue. Okay? Now with that situation right there, they said, okay, we'll go up. And then Moses says this, "Don't go up, for the Lord is not with you." That's where he says, "Don't go up, the Lord is not with you." And it says the people went up to take possession. It says something like, "Yet Moses and the ark remained in the camp. The face of God did not go before them." And that's why they failed. But why did not the face of God go before them? Because earlier, as we were reading in Exodus 20, their hearts did not want to continue before the face of God. See, it's what they did inwardly that affected everything that they did outwardly. Therefore, they were smitten by their enemies. Okay, so that whole situation happened. This is Numbers 14:39 through 45, and Moses is describing it. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and get them up into the top of the mountain, saying, "Lo, we be here, and we will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned." And Moses said, the whole situation that I said a while ago, "Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies." Verse 43, "For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you." That turning away happened in Exodus 20, where they said, "We will no longer hear the voice, we will no longer see the image." And the people stood afar off. That's the situation. "Because you are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp, and they were smitten." There you go. That whole situation with them trying to take possession of the land. All right. Joseph, back with Joseph. Joseph is a type of the single seed. We're going to be looking at some verses that declare that. He's beloved of his father. Let's see. Oh, yes. That whole situation that I just described with Israel, they would not go up, they would not go in and take possession, they would not do all these things. That was, where was it? Numbers. It's funny, it seems the Lord's all around these passages because Brother Lumen has been here in these passages as well. Let me see if I can find it. Well, I'm not going to find it. I think it's in Exodus. Okay. Maybe it's not in Exodus. Forgive me, it's a really good verse. I don't think it's in Leviticus, possibly Numbers. Well, I know I'm just going to go ahead and like paraphrase it, kind of quote it. It's what do you know? Numbers 14, got it written down. The whole situation, all right, that I wrote, that I just kind of showed with the children of Israel, their whole reasoning why they could not outwardly continue in obedience, why they could not outwardly continue in purpose, being a testimony of Christ, was because we saw in Exodus that their hearts no longer wanted to continue turning to the Lord. They turned from the Lord. They didn't want to hear the voice. They didn't want to see the heavenly vision. They stood afar off, yet Moses drew nigh. Okay, that whole situation. All right. Numbers 14:21. Or, let's see. The people rebel in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Moses intercedes. Verse 21. But truly I live. And all I did was take out the little italics terms. Truly I live. Do you remember when we looked at the book of Revelation chapter 1, John was not disobedient. John hears the voices of a trumpet. John turns to see the voice. Seeing the voice, he falls as dead. Seeing the one that liveth, he knows the one that liveth not. What does the Lord declare to him? I am the living one. I am he that liveth. Right here, verse 21, back with the Lord and the whole situation with Moses and the children of Israel. But truly, I live. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Shall be. Okay, lost my pen here. Truly, I live. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All right, let's take it a little further with the passage that we had mentioned while we were singing songs in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. It is the heavenly declaration. All right? It is the true confession, the heavenly confession, the true testimony. All right, this is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Verse 3, and one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Presently, the heavenly declaration. But we know that in the book of Isaiah, the whole situation during the timeline, something was not right. It sure didn't look that way. No, the heavenly declaration. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the earth. It's a heavenly declaration that comes out of the heavenly vision. Okay? Now, verse in Habakkuk, we're going to look in Habakkuk. If this is so, then what is lacking? What is lacking? If we do not see it, then what is lacking? Well, first of all, we'll never see it with the natural eye, because Moses, how it says it, Moses drew nigh unto the darkness unto the Lord. You can't be seen with a natural eye. And I'll pick back up here just a second. Well, I'll go ahead and say it this way. We will never, because that's the whole situation. The heavenly declaration says the whole earth is full of his glory. And yet, during Israel's time at that time, it didn't seem that way. And now you can say, well, it sure doesn't seem that way right now. No, it can never be seen with a natural eye. Never be seen with a natural eye. Because it is on the inside. And not only that, think about the passage with the rich young ruler that I was talking about earlier, mentioning. He came to Jesus, but he did not come in his heart. He came to Jesus, but his heart was not turned to the Lord. Why? Because then after the passage, he leaves. He left. Unlike his disciples who came to the Lord, whose hearts were turned to the Lord, who remained. Okay? The rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus, and he basically says this, What must I do that I may have eternal life? The rich young ruler is asking eternal life himself, what he must do to have eternal life. The rich young ruler wants eternal life, he just doesn't want to find it in the face of Christ, in the person of Christ. So what does the Lord say? Impossible with man. The rich young ruler wants to find eternal life in his own face, not the face of God. Impossible with man. Possible with God. And that is the entirety of the testimony, the things of God that we see. And that's where we fall in our expectation. I'll put it that way, in our expectation. Because we see the terms in the testimony, and they birth in our hearts an expectation to behold that very thing we've seen. But we, like the rich young ruler, come short. Why? Because we want that expectation found in our own face and not the face of Christ. Impossible. Can never be done. Impossible. No, not ever. We want eternal life. We just want to find it in our own face and not find it in the person of Christ. Okay? The terms. Listen to the terms. I know you're going to agree with me with these terms. We want to find salvation. We want to find it in our own face. We just don't want to find salvation in the person of Christ, in the risen Son. The list goes on and on and on. We want to find a kingdom. We just don't want to find it in the face of Christ, in the person of Christ. We want to find it in our own face, where we can see it with our natural eye. The glory of God. We want to see the glory of God. We just want to see it with our own natural eyes. And we want to find it on our own face. And we have come short. Impossible. Why? Because we don't want to find it in the face of Christ. Don't you love the Apostle Paul when he says, as God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he's quoting Genesis chapter 1, the light, the first thing that God does in his creation, let there be light. The first thing in the creation of God, let there be light. And yet, we desire everything but that light. Okay? Paul, as God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so hath he, listen, new covenant, so hath he shined in our hearts who are that are turned unto the Lord. Right? The veil remains upon their hearts till this day. Nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be removed. And then Paul says, but we all, with an unveiled face, we all whose hearts are turned unto the Lord, are beholding that same image, are beholding his glory, and are being transformed from glory to glory into that same image. Back with 2 Corinthians 4:6. As God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so hath he shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul and all those others whose hearts were turned unto the Lord, we're finding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're seeing the glory of God that fills the earth. Because they were finding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And see, that's the thing. We want to find the glory of God in our own face, or out here on this natural earth. Impossible. If you're looking for the glory of God, you'll only find it in the face of Christ, or you will not find it at all. It's that simple. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It's spelled out so clearly. Okay. Habakkuk. So then what is lacking? We saw that how the Lord in Numbers, what was it? Numbers 14:21, he says, surely I live. You do not live. I'm the living one. But you do not know that because your hearts did not continue to turn unto me. You refused. You were not obedient in your heart. So you stood afar off. But Moses was obedient. Joshua was obedient. Caleb was obedient. Okay? Truly I live. My glory shall fill the earth. That was Numbers. We looked at Isaiah. The heavenly declaration, right? Isaiah. The heavenly testimony. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. So then what is lacking? We know we'll never see it on the outward. Right? We looked at 2 Corinthians 4:6. We'll never see it with the natural eye. Why? Because like the people that stood afar off that we read, Moses drew nigh unto the thick darkness. Moses drew nigh unto the Lord, unto the thick darkness. They cannot be seen with the natural eye. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses' heart was turned. Okay? Habakkuk. This is what's lacking. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth. All the terms for earth are Strong's number 776. It's the same term, earth, land, that I've been looking at in those passages. For the earth shall be filled. Uh-oh, here we go. For the earth shall be filled. But you said, but you just read the passage in Isaiah 6. The earth is full. Is filled. All right, here we go. for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That's what's lacking. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Paul, 2 Corinthians 4:6, those whose hearts are turned, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Filled with the knowledge, with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is present. That's the difference. That's the difference. Okay? Here's the type, Joseph. Joseph, I'm not sure what time, how much time we've gone so far. Okay. All right. We're going to look at Joseph as a single seed. Here is God the Father. He has a goal. All right. God the Father has a goal, an eternal goal. All right. He sends his son to fulfill that goal. Right? Let's start looking at the passages here. Okay. Genesis chapter 37. Beautiful picture with Joseph. It's my bookmark. I need that. Genesis 37, verse 18 through 35. The father sends his son unto his brethren. It speaks of Jesus. He came unto his own received him not. Verse 37, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. All right. And Reuben heard, and he delivered him out of their hands, and it goes on. Verse 23, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and verse 27, come let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Then there passed by Midianite merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Verse 31. Yeah. Verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it unto their father, and said, this have we found, know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. And he knew it, and said, it is my son's coat, an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. The father saw the blood. It's testimony. The father saw the blood of his son. He's dead. He's dead. There's Joseph as a single seed. All right? The blood. And I'll just say this. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Yes, it does. Here's the single seed. The blood comes to the ground, dies. All right? And then he was sold into Egypt, the abode of the dead.
right? We saw the blood with the kid of the goats, with the blood of the kid of the goats. The Father acknowledges the blood. He acknowledges the death. Now he's in the abode of the dead in Egypt. Okay? Going on a little bit further with Joseph. This is Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Brought down into Egypt. Okay? All right. Verse 20. Through 22. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Okay? That whole situation with Potiphar's wife, I love this. Verse, remember how I was saying that Joseph is a perfect type of the single seed? Let's see. Chapter 29 in Genesis, still with chapter 29, verse 9. There is none greater in the house. This is Joseph. There's none greater in the house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, but thou, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Sin, to miss the mark, to come short of the mark, and not sharing the thus not sharing the prize. See, Joseph's heart continued turned to the Lord. That his heart continues turned to the Lord. That's why he's such a beautiful picture of Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. His heart does not break fellowship. His heart does not break turning unto the Lord. Okay? Beautiful picture. Tempted several times, and yet his heart continues turned to the Lord. You know? Okay. Let's see. Chapter 41. Of Genesis, verse 41-44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Remember when the Lord, when in the book of Revelation chapter 1 that we read earlier, when John is obedient unto the voice and turns to see the voice and sees the voice that speaks with him. And then when it says, when I saw him, I fell as dead. And then it says, and he placed his right hand upon me and said, I am he that liveth. And I was, I'll misquote it if I don't read it directly out from there. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I am triumphant over the grave. That's the exact same thing that's happening here with Genesis chapter 41, verses 40 through 44. Joseph is triumphant over the grave. Over the grave. He rules. The quick and the dead. Perfect, beautiful testimony of Christ. Okay? Not only that, well, Pharaoh called Joseph. I'll just go ahead and read this because this is very important. This is from a class that I did several years ago, The Cross, A Study in the Death, Burial, and Resurrection of Christ as Seen in Old Testament Types and Shadows. It's class 15. And I'll just, the title of it was Joseph Defined. And just speaking of Joseph, Let's see. I love this. The term Joseph, the actual name Joseph, is Strong's number 3130. It means adding, to add or augment, often adverbial, to continue to do a thing. Continue. Henceforth, increase more and more. This is Joseph. Okay? This is the Easton's Revised... That was from the Strong's Hebrew Lexicon. This is from Easton's Revised Bible Dictionary. Joseph, remover or increaser. And it goes on a little further in the definition. With the death of Joseph, the patriarchal age of the history of Israel came to a close. The end of one, the beginning of another. Okay? Going on with the term Joseph, this is Fawcett's Bible Dictionary. Pharaoh named Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah, which means the food of life or of the living. The food of life or the food of the living. Zaphnath-Paneah is Strong's number 6847. This is the Brown Driver Briggs Lexicon of the Old Testament. Zaphnath-Paneah, treasury of the glorious rest. This is Fawcett's Bible Dictionary. I love this. For the term Zaphnath-Paneah. Egyptian title of Joseph, Ziph-Tank, something like that. From Zaph, which is corn food. All the world, you can look at the story, all the world came to Joseph. His brethren came to Joseph. All the world came to Joseph. If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. All came to Joseph. Okay? All right. Genesis 50. And basically, if you did not come to Joseph, you perished. You came to Joseph for life. Right? He's the corn. He has the wheat. He has the food. He has what will sustain us. You came to Joseph for life. Okay? Beautiful testimony of Christ. Genesis 50, verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. I love that. Exodus 13:19. You're saying, well, what does all this mean now? Hold on. Just listen to where I'm going with this. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Joshua 24:32, they carried the bones of Joseph out of Egypt. This is the resurrection, okay? Back now. Now. The single seed. Now. Picking up the picture with Moses, right? Moses. Also, the same picture retold all over again. Israel, because of Joseph, was in Egypt 400 years. It took 400 years to give the slightest testimony of the increase of Christ. 400 years for an increase to come forth, for a multitude to come forth. Okay? 400 years, all Israel in Egypt, in the abode of the dead. Okay? Now, another picture, another whole testimony starting. Not another testimony, but a greater unfolding of that testimony, okay, of the perfect plan of God, all right? Here's Moses is sent, all right, the death of the Lamb. In the death of the Lamb, all die. That's what that's what Egypt said. We be dead with the death of the Lamb, all right? Now you have all Israel in the Red Sea, right? Egypt followed in the Red Sea into burial. But only Israel came forth. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. They came forth in the resurrection of Joseph, because it was the bones of Joseph, right? The single seed. So here now we have the increase of Joseph. What now? The increase of Joseph is to do one thing. Take possession of that which is rightly given unto him of his father.
Take possession of the land.
The first Israel, disobedient. The second Israel, not disobedient. They took possession.
Okay? Exodus, because I've pretty much run out of time. In Acts chapter 7, and we'll go ahead and bring this to a close here. Acts chapter 7. Verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. There's the increase. Exodus 12. Verses 37-41. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children. Mixed multitude went up with them, flocks. Verse 39, they baked unleavened cakes and dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Egypt who dwelt, children of Israel, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. A multitude, an increase came forth. Brothers and sisters, I just want to mention this right here. Christ is in increase. His resurrection is increase. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Question. Just plain questions based on the passage that I just quoted where Jesus was talking. Jesus spake of himself. This he spoke of his death. Christ is that corn of wheat of which Joseph, which I ran through Joseph. Joseph is a beautiful, perfect type of, okay? Did Jesus die? Yes or no? Yes. Therefore, because he died, guess what? He came forth in much increase, bearing much fruit. The Father having that which his heart desired. His Son in increase. His Son glorified. The glorified Son. The glorified seed. The glorified Christ. Bless you. The Father has exactly everything he wants. Now, this risen one, this one in increase, takes possession of the soul, the land, which is rightfully given to him of his Father. When you're born again, you're not born of a single seed. You're born of the increase of Christ, the incorruptible seed, the incorruptible seed. It's the incorruptible seed in fullness, the incorruptible seed glorified, right? When a person's born again, Jesus of Nazareth doesn't come and dwell in their soul. No, the glorified Christ comes and dwells in the soul. The glory, listen, it is before the cross. Listen, before the cross, God was saying, my glory shall fill
the earth. My glory shall fill the land. We saw it in Exodus, or Numbers. Yes, Numbers. Then the heavenly declaration in Isaiah chapter 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. In the cross, death, burial, resurrection, at new birth. Boom. What is lacking now? What is lacking? Habakkuk chapter 2. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord must fill the earth as perfectly and as completely as the waters cover the sea. See, God is not lacking anything. God has nothing to do. He only shows that which is present in His Son. He shows nothing less than His Son. But we, like the rich young ruler, we want to find all these things of God apart from the Son. We want to find them in ourselves, in our own face, in the face of humanity. Impossible. Only in the face of Christ. Only in the face of Christ. The heart must turn. The obedience of the heart is so important. It must be obedient unto the heavenly voice to turn to behold Christ. And in beholding Christ, listen, what increases is our knowledge of the glory that fills. What increases is, as we sang earlier out of Isaiah, and of His government there shall be no end. We are more and more governed by the mind of Christ. More and more governed by reality. More and more governed by light. More and more governed by the truth. The indwelling Christ who is present. So, I know I've run out of time, and forgive me, I think I may have rushed through this a bit. But the Lord bless you all. I hope I didn't ramble off too much, and I hope I didn't go in so many rabbit trails that it wasn't a continuous flow where you could follow. But it's a perfect picture with Joseph, and then bringing from Joseph to the children of Israel coming forth in resurrection, and increase coming forth in resurrection, and then that increase taking possession of the land. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture of Christ. What He hath done. What He hath done. Hath. Past tense. Hath done. And what we can only see as done and walk in the reality of it as our hearts are turned to behold Him. Amen. So Lord bless you all. I thank you for being with us this morning. And I just really want to thank all those that make everything that we do possible. There's several...